Did you have something you wanted to add to that?
No. No, you didn't.
Okay, all right. So let's show your team some love. You know, big shout out to them. I've been texting back and forth, and I was on the site. Beautiful, absolutely beautiful family. I found out you're a father of six as opposed to four, because I sent out a picture. I think it had four kids in it. But yeah, man, kudos to you. Let's love on you a little bit before we talk about your story. How is fatherhood?
Fatherhood is amazing. Fatherhood is an ongoing, informative journey. I love fatherhood. That's my favorite thing to do outside of handling business or being in my creative space. But, yeah, fatherhood is my top priority.
So something very interesting, because I actually quite often I vet this story and I ask people about our guests, and a lot of people know you from Instagram. Yeah, they were like the guy with the locks, you know, and the tattoo. Yes, that's him. But they applauded you, you know, the things that you do regarding your kids. One of the questions that you answered for me, because we've had Colion Noir on, Maj Touré, quite a few Second Amendment advocates and people who, you know, who are in that industry. So they, you know, they talk about firearms, but we always talk about it from an adult perspective. How young is too young to teach a person firearm? And then I'm getting ready to play an audio clip, and then I'll have you explain that again as we further go down the rabbit hole as we explore your journey and your business. Mm-hmm. So how young is too young?
Yeah. For me, I tell people all the time, like, in my personal opinion, there's no age on independence. So I gauge it by maturity level. So I know when I initially started, my son was six and my daughter was three. I'm not going to say that'll work for everybody because, again, at that age, they may not have the maturity level or the discipline to really understand trigger control and don't aim it at nothing you're not willing to destroy and how to drop the mag to make sure there's no bullets in it. But if they are able to, I wouldn't necessarily put an age on it, just their maturity level and their ability. Like, because I know a lot of people think teaching is effortless, but some people aren't teachable or they're not there yet to even receive the information in which you're trying to give them. So I just base it upon their receptiveness and their maturity level.
Perfect. Now I'm going to play this audio clip, and then I want you to expound on it and share with me why you decided to post it and what kind of results you got, because I think it's phenomenal.
All right, Mr. Grace, today's lesson, we're going to be touching on these three firearms. We'll touch on the other ones at a later date, but this is going to be our primary focus today. So what are we dealing with? What three guns do we have on the table right now?
Pistol grip.
Point to them. Point them out so the people know.
Pistol grip, AK-47, Glock 30, Glock 42.
Okay, and what type of ammunition does a Glock 30 take?
45 ACP.
What about the Glock 42?
380.
What about the pistol grip AK-47?
7.62 by 39.
Alright, show me the safety on the AK-47. Where's the grip? Where's the magazine? How many rounds are in that magazine?
30.
And where's the pistol grip, that specific pistol grip AK-47, where is it manufactured at?
Romania.
Alright, and I got a question. Before we resort to gun violence or resort to the gun period, what do we do as men?
Try your best to walk away and defuse the situation.
And do guns kill people or do bad people with guns kill people?
Bad people with guns kill people.
Okay, so of the three firearms we're dealing with today, which one is your favorite?
The Glock 42.
Okay, and why is the Glock 42 your personal favorite?
Because it's more smaller, because I won't be able to shoot any of these.
Okay, that's a very good reason. Now let's get back to the pistol grip AK-47. If you were to shoot that horizontally, how many yards would it travel?
580 yards.
If you were to bring it from the shoulder and fire, how many yards would it travel?
2,500 yards.
According to Wikipedia, how cheap can you get a pistol grip AK-47 on the black market?
$6.
And also, according to Wikipedia, how many pistol grip, no, I'm sorry, AK-47s period have been created to this day?
100 million.
Okay. Now, moving forward, I'm going to have Derek physically show you guys why the Glock 42 is his favorite and how he would handle that in the case of an emergency. So go ahead and stand up, Derek. You know, say it was an emergency, I wasn't home, even though you're not old enough to stay home by yourself yet. But I wasn't home, you know, whatever the case may be when we had an emergency. I need you to show me how you would approach the Glock 42, how you would grab it, load your magazine, and how to hold it as well. It's an emergency. Come on, Glock 42. What kind of rounds are you working with?
380.
Fully extend? All right, it's an emergency, Glock 30. Come on. What kind of rounds are you using?
45 ACP.
All right, and if I were to tell you to grab that pistol grip AK-47, what kind of rounds are you using?
7.62 by 30.
Bravo, bravo. I watched that video over and over, Mr. Grace. I applaud you. What prompted you to post the video? You're very welcome.
What prompted me to post it? I think for starters, I was just trying to break down like the bad rap that I feel like a lot of our culture has with gun ownership and gun education. Well, a lot of people just simply too lazy to do it. So that was one thing, to not only encourage them, like, it's actual children out here who are learning how to protect themselves at an early age. And we have a lot of naive adults that's running around that's either too lazy or too scared to try to research and figure out how they could have gun ownership, or they just simply look at guns as taboo anyway, which is crazy to me because our culture is haunted daily by gun violence, whether it be self-inflicted or other cultures pushing that on us as well. Secondly, not too long before that came out, I shot somebody. Well, I shot two people in front of one of my children. So being that she witnessed that, I felt like it was only right for me to start educating them on a deeper level rather than saying, like, hey, this daddy gun, don't touch it. You know, children function with curiosity, and I knew it was only a matter of time. Like, she saw me actually shoot two people, so I knew it was only a matter of time before she may have stumbled across my gun and wanted to be curious. So I'm big on preventative maintenance. I don't take any breaks when it comes to that. I try to educate my children, myself, my team, my family on as much as possible that could be in our upcoming forecast. So when we do inherit it or run across it, we know how to move accordingly.
Just to clear that up, did you shoot someone because of a home invasion or something else?
I mean, it was more like a vehicular invasion, but yeah, somebody decided to help themselves to my car on the wrong night, so they ended up getting shot.
Gotcha. So you blessed them. I want to read something from your website. Guys, I told you to grab your pen and paper. Please make sure you visit Derek Grace, D-E-R-R-I-C-K, Grace, 2, spelled out, T-W-O.com. From this, you will learn that Derek Grace is a best-selling author, homeschool educator, board game inventor, video game inventor, real estate investor, owns a robotics company, owns a security firm with his father, and is a marketing genius. His entire independent and multi-million dollar empire was built off of the concept of self-education. His network of group gurus are unmatched, and he takes pride in using his in-home banking techniques as a tool to help assist others in building their very own property using their intellectual property. Okay, so please visit the site. Friend to the show, David Banner, had him on, T-I-E-Y-L. He was on World Star Baller Alert, so many shows. Please go to the site, show some love and support, and also subscribe to his YouTube channel. All right, so I think Judge Joe Brown is in the building. I learned a lot from you. Thank you so much, Mr. Grace, for taking time out with me. You're welcome. And so you'll spend the next few minutes. Judge, he has about 20 or so minutes with us. So you'll spend that time with Judge Joe Brown, and then as your outro, I will play something that I found on your YouTube page. regarding post-pandemic activity. So with this, we're going to take a quick audio break, and when we come back, Joshua Brown will be in the building.
Ms. Grace, what is nepotism?
Give family and friends a job.
Dear Grace, what is gentrification?
Renovate and improve so that it fits in a middle-class space.
Derrick Grace, what do men do?
Preach, provide, protect.
What is the strongest muscle on your body?
Brain.
I want you to be what in the room?
Wisest.
Derrick, what's the most valuable thing in life?
Time.
Derrick, if you lost everything today, what you got tomorrow?
Intellectual property.
And what is intellectual property?
You can't take your possessions, but you can not take your mind.
All right, Derrick, who is Huey P. Newton?
The African-American political activist revolutionary who, along with Bobby Seale, co-founded the Black Panther Party in 1966.
How old are you?
4 years old.
What's 700 plus 700?
1,400.
Are y'all buyers or sellers?
Sellers.
The goal is to be what?
Independent.
Y'all gonna be what when y'all grow up?
Bosses.
But in order to do that, we gotta do what?
Create stuff.
Listen, y'all, in a nutshell, the name of the game is unlearn and relearn. Reprogram these children. We need more leaders. We got enough followers.
Amen. I love it. I love it. Speaking of leaders, we got Judge Joe Brown in the building. Welcome, welcome, Judge. How are you?
Good afternoon, and I'm glad our guest is a strong Second Amendment supporter, and you're doing some excellent work with your boy there when it comes to apparent man training. That's good.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
Now, you are blocked
in. I'm going to fall back. Oh, sorry. There you go. I was just going to let you know I'm going to fall back and give it all to
you.
He'll be with us for about another 20 minutes.
I said you're a Glock man.
Yeah. I kind of switched up as of late. I've been carrying the Springfield Hellcat. That's my favorite gun out in the Glock. A Glock 43X right after that.
Frankly, I like the SIG 365 XL.
Yeah, you know, I like that SIG too, but it's too bulky for me. It's too big.
The 365, the small one. It isn't any bigger than the Hellcat. The two standard smaller magazines, the Hellcat's got one extra round over the 365, but both of them have an extended mag available with 15. I'm not talking about the 320. I'm talking about the 365.
Okay, I got you. I have to check that one out.
Yeah, that's good. Smaller, actually, it's on the same frame size as the old SIG. And I've been trying to get SIG to make up 365 full size and see where they go, because I think their 320 follows on the size of their 229, which is too close to the 226, 220, which started out as a 45, which I think is too big for a 9.
But no, with you.
I've got a bunch of Glocks, don't get me wrong.
Yeah, no, I'm
with you. I was gunsmithing on one.
Yeah, no, I have more Glocks than anything in my collection, too. That's always the go-to, is the Glock, in my opinion.
Well, I've been collecting for 50-some years, so I got a bunch. Glocks, the way I have got them worked on with aftermarket slides, barrels, and parts, yeah, okay. As they come from the factory, I think of them as blocks.
Right.
But they work. They work. That's the good part. Can't fall fat. They go bang when they're supposed to.
Absolutely, all the time.
Anyway, tell me what you think about what's going on.
When you say going on, what you mean? Like what topic or what?
I'm leaving it up to you. Tell me what you think's going on that really needs to be addressed.
Okay,
most
important. I got you. The biggest thing that I feel like needs to be addressed in these current times is just doing for self, thinking for self. And I've used this term for years since I've been teaching, but I think question everything got to be like more important than ever at this point, whether it be the presidency, the laws that's getting passed, the vaccinations. People just have to dead the savior complex and really just start focusing on educating themselves on whatever matter or situation they're walking into. And understanding that just simply nobody coming to save them but them. That's always been my motto. So I think if people start just leaning on themselves more for direction, or not ignoring that gut feeling, but actually processing it and trying to assess what their common sense and their logic is putting in front of them, we would be in a way, way better position. But I know what a lot of people follow typically the traditionalism, and I think that's where a lot of my teachings differ, is I really don't go by the book. I believe in making up the book as we go. Because a lot of the game information that was given to us, whether it be the 70s, 80s, 90s, 2000, that information is null and void at this point. It's not going to help in 2021. So I'm always about just updating, evolving, and having a high level of awareness so you know what you need to sharpen the practice on to even be a valuable player in this game.
Okay, what do you think's out of date? Tell me about that.
Oh, out of date. School systems, 1,000% out of date. I'm 32. I feel like the information they was giving me was out of date. And I think that's why a lot of people gravitate towards my teachings, because I pull from either current or future events. But I'm not somebody who's going to keep telling them. If we go back to school period, it's things that I can still remember, like the radius, the Pythagorean theorem, however you say it. But I know, like, as an adult man who's not only had a job but found out a way to get millions of dollars independently in business, I've absolutely never used any of those things. So I tell people all the time, my personal opinion, school has basically turned into a daycare that children go to while their parents are forced to do what society told them you're supposed to do once you're an adult. So, and for me, that goes back to self-education and self-awareness. Like, if a lot of people really understood the value of themselves and their hours, they wouldn't allow these outside entities to basically maximize their potential for their benefit, and they, you know, they get the lesser end of the percentage on the deal, aka the paycheck. So to me, absolutely, school is something that needs to be school is something that needs to be revitalized, in my personal opinion. The grocery stores, the food market, that industry, the food deserts, all those things that's something else to me that needs to be revitalized. Our overall sole reliance on, I don't know what's up with our culture or the world period, but we've evolved to a place where we don't know how to articulate our differences, and we don't know how to protect our own selves or our own homes. So I feel like just a reliance on safety and peace of mind, we have to check that too and repackage how we approach that situation also. Because we literally, in my personal opinion, for like the heaviest things in life, most of us are dependent on outside entities to take care of those. So that means if those entities ever get to a place where they don't feel like doing it, or they don't feel like we deserving of it, you know, we're just going to be asked out at that point.
Interesting. From my perspective, what you're saying is that the schools have deteriorated.
Absolutely.
They used to be a lot more than they are now. And the public school system in the United States catapulted it to the top of the world. And because of some select interests who basically are profoundly interested in emasculating the country, they've engaged in a 50-year pogrom to take the public school system down, also joined in by the religious right that doesn't like it. So now people need private schools, homeschooling, but you didn't used to need it. By the way, the Pythagorean theorem is not bad. I use it quite often. What I do, trigonometry, calculus, that kind of thing comes in handy on a regular basis, even though nominally what I deal with is law. But I use a little trigonometry to analyze the angle on the sear of a rifle I was working on the other day to get a good pull without fumbling and
I got you.
Prying.
That makes sense.
See, so, yeah. But one of the things that you touched on is, the way I would word it, is you teach the child to be critical and analytical. Skeptical.
Absolutely.
and to be forthright and to be courageous and brave when necessary, but be men of peace, public peace, dignity, and order otherwise. See, what they are doing with the country and trying to do with the world is they are as a group of people that hate themselves, they hate what they are, and they hate what they want to be. They try to excuse it by saying they have different sexual tastes, but that's not it, because it's not really homosexuality. It's a cult that tries to get away from responsibility, accountability, dependability, being able to say that they do something to make where they live a better, safer, more secure place filled with economic prosperity, opportunity, morality, ethics, and a sense of purpose. They do not feel that it is their job to keep the public peace, dignity, and order. And right. They are salacious, and they want to destroy all values, principles, and morality. And that is not good for anybody, anywhere in the world. Now, that's what we are facing. Politically, black right. folk, us, we have gotten into a corner, and we feel that we owe loyalty to somebody that hasn't delivered any damn thing to us in 30 years.
Absolutely.
So what are we getting out of it? I think probably the president of the White House personally is the worst that I have seen in my lifetime, and I'm in my mid-70s. Next worst would probably be Ronald Reagan, tied with Barack Obama and George W. Bush. And I'd even give George W. a slight nudge over Barack Obama.
I'm with you on that.
That was a fraud. He's a con man. Too many of them are cons, and they promise stuff that they can't deliver anyway because their offices that they're seeking or that they hold don't have the authority nor the power.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking at something here that was on Newsmax. It was just a poll, not a poll. It's just the result of some polls. And this is what they came up with. Right now, Biden's approval rating is 50%. And his disapproval rating has gone up to 49%. 54 approved of him in August, 59 did in July.
Right.
There's a concern with what's happened in Afghanistan, Border Patrol agents doing what they did to Haitian refugees.
Right.
Change from there is no such thing as an illegal human to the Haitians have to go back while the Hispanics are welcome. Coronavirus handling. And amongst Democrats, the rating has dropped from 92 to 85%. Amongst independents, it's dropped from 62 to 38%. Republicans hold steady at 11%. But now, the thing that is worse, while the approval dipped among white Americans, and black Americans still approve of him more than any other ethnic group. 64%, it dropped from 86% to 64%. Why to reprove of this idiot who we have gotten nothing from, who has done everything he can in his administration to foster this LGBTQ cult, not homosexuality, but this LGBTQ cult, that is for the destruction of the family, for it is against manhood, womanhood, and childhood. Why in the hell do you think we still support that jackass in chief?
Well, I think
that's just my humble opinion.
I think a large part of that is similar to what they spoke on with Stockholm Syndrome, where people actually gravitate towards their oppressors and the people who actually treat them like shit to begin with. So psychologically, I don't think I would ever understand it, but people, at times, our culture can be a glutton for punishment. Like, we speak on wanting better, we speak on what we need or our demands, but when our demands are not met, a lot of times I feel like we're far too forgiving. We've seen this story. I'm 32. I'm not going to lie, I really can't remember president-wise back beyond George Bush, because I remember when 9/11 happened, I was in, seventh or eighth grade. But anyway, we've only been getting, you know, open-handed promises and broken promises since I can remember. So that's why I say, like, that savior complex, like, that a lot of us are so in love with the thought of some 80-year-old from a totally different culture understanding our needs and our wants, rather than just, you know, getting up off our ass and trying to figure it out ourselves, that they rather just continue to rely on this system that clearly didn't do it for their great-grandma, didn't do it for their grandma, didn't do it for their mama. But for some magical reason, this system is now going to do it for them in 2021. So I think a lot of that just simply comes from laziness and the fact that it's easier to place blame for a lot of people. It's easier to say, to put the blame on Joe Biden than to just hold themselves accountable on a day-to-day basis and be like, I have to actively get up every day and work on getting my shit together.
Well, yeah, it's not all Joe Biden. He certainly hasn't helped, but the exercise devolves into, why do we support that? See, if you're going to do for self, you have to understand there's a bargain in politics. What are you getting out of the deal? And if you're getting nothing, you're a damn fool to continue to do something over and over that benefits someone that does not benefit yourself. See, in a political system like ours, or a setup system, basically, you have to work through your representatives. Everybody does not, this is not a democracy. It's a republic where the representatives are selected democratically, but it is not a democratic government. In a democracy, everybody votes on everything, including the laws. But that's not what this is. So why is it we seem to be singularly unable to have wisdom and discernment? Why is it that we support, with our children looking at a Lakers game, a flash from the camera down to the floor of the Staples Center, while Lizzo, the hippo lizard, has got her bare behind twerking with our children, boys and girls, watching? See, why do we allow that? Some few years ago, they had a big uproar over Janet Jackson's so-called wardrobe malfunction. But it's okay for her to flash her big hippo ass on the floor while young boys, maybe your son, maybe some of my grandchildren, might be looking because they're watching an NBA game and they see that fat, flabby, bare ass out there. Especially the effect on the girls who one day may become mothers, hopefully good mothers rather than ones that are generally incompetent like so many today. Now,
thank you for that question.
Do you think that's something we have to address right there? Because even if we get economics going, you set up an empire. What happens is the kids grow up being negatively influenced by what's going on around them with no counterpoint being put, and it gets awful hard for them to discern what to do when there's this stress, peer pressure, everything else, and trying to answer questions that they haven't thought to ask their parents.
Right. Well, last I got two answers to that. So one answer is this. I feel like I've been telling parents this for years. Parenthood is a competition, and a lot of people feel as though that's not right or it shouldn't be because they birthed a child. And rightfully so, yeah, you're the parent. You created them. But they're going to come across and inherit thousands of examples and influences on their way from childhood to adulthood. So I think a lot of parents have to get back to actually parenting and being overly consistent. And, like, because I know for me, I want to be my six children's biggest influencer. And my children aren't necessarily in school. I homeschool, but even if they all were, I would still want to go the extra mile because I don't know this lady, you know, through and through that teaches them, or this man. So I don't even want him to accidentally be the biggest influence because they spend so much time with him in school. So I think what a lot of that is going to go back to is parents going to have to get back to parenting. They're going to have to get back to having those conversations and having to be intentional about making time just to build, bond, and learn from their children. Because I know in this era, a lot of parents is going to send them to school for 8 hours with a stranger, get them home, and then sit them in front of YouTube or the TV for the duration of the day so they can do whatever they need to do as an adult and allow YouTube, TV, and their friends to raise them. So, number one, parents got to be more intentional about just being a parent, being active, and being hands-on. And they got to remember it's a competition. So if you're not the biggest influencer of their mind, it may be Lizzo, it may be the friends, it may be the school, it may be the internet. That's number one. Number two, I think, and to the first part of the question, to answer that, I feel like we do have to address those things now and quickly, because just my personal opinion, if they're not addressed now, they're typically going to evolve within your child at a later date. And that's when people start witnessing certain behaviors that they didn't even know existed or that their child was into. But they're already 5 to 10 years deep in it, so it's going to be even harder to try to break that cycle or reroute them. So, yeah, no, I agree. That's something that should be addressed immediately. But parents also do have to get back to being parents and not just caretakers that keep a roof over their head and clothes on their back.
Agreed. No problem with that perspective. That's a correct one. That's been consistent throughout humanity's existence. I agree with what you're saying, young man. You're 32, very impressive, all right?
Yes, sir.
You are about the same age as in between my two boys, so we're about, one's about your age and one's a bit older. So, yeah, that's the thing. Now, there is my old man. I never saw him shoot anybody, but I saw him knock somebody out that broke in the house when I was about 4, going on 5 years old. That impressed me. He taught me to box, and when I was 6, he took me out to shoot the first time. So I've been shooting a long time. I thank him for doing that. I tried to make sure both of my boys learned how to shoot at a very early age. And that's all well and good. I got taught when I was coming up, my grandfather, one of them anyway, both parents, all the aunts and uncles, both sides of the family, or at least the uncles. And it was your responsibility is to lead your community. That's your primary thing. You must ideate. They didn't use that word, but that's what I'd use. And make yourself a village chieftain. It's your job if you have the wisdom and discernment to lead, correct problems, point out things that need to be corrected, and discover how to correct the problems that you have ferreted out. Now, that's a good thing. Teach your boys that, and they'll make it in life. Teach them hard work. Right. Nobody gets anywhere without hard work, a lot of hard work. Too many of you folks today think they are entitled and it's supposed to come to them just because they want it. It doesn't quite work that way. Pontificating.
Thank you. I don't know how many more minutes you've got with us, but Judge, I would like for the two of you to have a quick conversation. This is something that was on his YouTube page.
I hope you're enjoying this big exclusive via the Judge Joe Brown Show. Don't forget to subscribe to this channel. Now, back to the show.
This show is sponsored by the Hurricane Report, merchandise, and more.